Our closing speaker, I cannot believe, has never been a keynote speaker here. She's been a friend of mine for 20 years. She's one of the most solid, grounded people that I know in these rooms. She never gets flustered. She served above. As she's very flustered right now. She was board of the San Fernando Valley Intergroup. She's always of service. She's incredible, and I'm so glad that she's sharing her recovery with you today. Please welcome to the stage our final speaker, Holly.
Hi, everyone. My name's Holly. I'm a compulsive overeater. Okay. Welcome to everybody here that's from out of town and for everybody here that's from in town. Thank you, Susan and Lewis, for asking me. Okay. Thanks to Susan and Lewis for asking me to speak here today. I've been here since yesterday morning. I sat in that big book workshop the whole time. I could not get up. I couldn't leave. I was so happy to sit there and really study the big book with Kim. A lot of times I get here and I'm jumping around. It's not helpful, okay? So I'm really glad that I did what I did this weekend. And so what I want to do, I don't know how I can actually transmit what's happened to me in the past 17 years. But I'm going to try to do that and tell you, like, what it was like and give you a snapshot of what I was like before I got here. And then what I do today, okay? That's all I know to do is to tell my story. I'm literally vibrating with nervousness, so just know that. Thank you, Billy. Let's start in the beginning. Billy, keep making that noise, okay? Because I know you're there. I was thinking, I was asked to speak, it was maybe 3 weeks ago. And that doesn't matter. I don't really think about ahead of time what I'm going to say in any given time. I spoke last night to you while I'm trying to go to sleep. I did the whole thing. Yeah, I did the whole thing. So to describe to you how I was before I got here, know that I'm a 100-pounder. I lived my life at somewhere between 240 and 280 pounds my whole life, okay? Like, I was never anything different. I was an overweight child. That's what I was. I never was at a healthy body weight. I came to this program a little while in 93 and 94, and it was like drive-by OA. I stayed for a little bit. I got an abstinence, and I was not grounded in any kind of step work or sponsorship. And so it made it very easy for me to walk right back out of the room. But I stayed about 2.5 years. I'm not going to say I didn't get anything from that. I really did. I needed to be with you guys, and I needed to get that little shot in my head, and that's how my life is gone. I could tell you a million stories about how God has got me from living back east, 280 pounds, a diner cook, a neglected child. I could tell you all those stories today, and I'm not going to do that, just little ones. But to standing here today, a woman that, and I'm sitting at a healthy body weight for the last probably 16 years. I'm a completely different person, okay? Completely different person. I've worked the steps multiple times. I've gone through life stuff. Whatever you can imagine, I've walked through with this program and with the people in this program just holding me right off the floor. So I'll tell you a little bit about those things. I want to just tell you a couple stories about how I was, because it's, like I say, it's a complete transformation by working the steps of this program. Very quickly, I was, like I say, I was always overweight. So I was a child that was of a broken home, which was unusual at my age. I was probably the first kid to have divorced parents. Okay, my mom was mentally ill, and I had to live with her until I was 18. Right, so nobody's watching the show, nobody's watching me. Okay, so what I had to do to eat is we didn't have any money, and we also didn't have any heat a lot of the times, and that kind of came up in some of my thoughts. But that was the kind of childhood I had, right? No money, no clothes, no nothing. I was just kind of, all I wanted to do was be invisible. And, you know, people back then, I know they do it here now, but I grew up back east, they'd just shout stuff at you. You know, if you were fat, they would just shout stuff at you, you know, out the car window. My classmates, it's kind of like, I just dampened that all down by eating. It's like, I can't hear that, right? That hurts me. I'm going to eat so I can't be that, all right? So that's kind of what I did. I just kept eating, and what I couldn't afford to buy, I would steal. It's just how it was, right? So God brought me to California. God kept me safe there. I didn't know it at that time. It was God doing that. And I'm going to say God, and that's my higher power. That's what I call my higher power is God. I was a person that didn't talk. I didn't talk to anybody. You couldn't have a conversation with me. I'm going to be in the back. I'm going to be behind a bigger person than me. I'm not going to participate in anything. I'm going to stay very, very in the back, invisible. And that's how I lived, right? Somehow, I got out of that town, and it's too long of a story to tell now, but somehow I got out of that town, and I came here, okay? So that was God shot number 33 right there, is that I was out of there, because number one, I didn't know anything else but being 280 pounds. Or 240 pounds, whatever I was. I didn't know anything else but that. I could never lose weight. And I thought, it wasn't even in my head by that time. And the other thing is that, you know, I felt different because I'm gay. So there's no gay people in Batavia, New York, I'm going to tell you right now. You can laugh, because of course there is. But I thought, it's an old idea, I'm not talking to anybody. How would I know that? You see what I mean? But I was different. And I left there and came out here, completely changed careers, changed jobs, but I came with me. I in my suitcase was me, okay? So I was, one of the biggest things I remember is I have a huge anxiety and fear level, and I'm afraid of people, right? So I'm working for my dad in his restaurant. He's got a diner. And I'm working with him. He taught me how to cook. Now, I'd done this and that. I'd been to college. But I came back to that small town, and I worked for my dad for 12 years. So he taught me how to cook in this diner. And I remember the first time that I was supposed to work a night shift by myself, like I was going to be the cook, I literally made myself sick. I had to go home. I was so afraid of the people. I was so afraid, and that's how I lived, just so afraid of people. And so what I would do, and I got better and better at it, you know, and I'd work at it, and I'd power through, and I had the apron wrapped around and tied, and I'd cook for all these people, who most of them were drunk, by the way. So they did, because I'd worked the bar shift, right? So I'm cooking for them. I got my back to all these loud people, and I'm petrified, right? So what I'd have to do is when that bar rush came down and all those slips of paper of the orders were done, I'd go in the back, I'd get a big chocolate milk and a cigarette, and I'd sit on the edge of the elevator, and I'd literally have to drink that chocolate milk down. Okay. Smoke the cigarette, and I'd go out and clean up. That's how I ate. It was all the time. I would eat all. Every time I went in the back, I'd have something in my hand, right? But I'd have to. This is how I lived. I was so afraid. I had to calm myself down with the food, okay? And it showed on me, and that's the consequences. So when I came into program, like I said, I was in a little bit before, but when I came in August of 2002, here's the important thing. I was actually, once I moved out here, I got into a good relationship. I was okay. I was working. I had a pretty good house. Everything, a nice car. Everything was chugging along okay. I'm still really not talking to anybody. But I went into a different program first, and that kind of cracked open the talk. So now I'm talking to a little bit of people. But I'm still eating, okay? I'm still eating. I can't really be me. So by the time August of 2002 came, I felt like, and this happened little by little, I felt like I had no personality left. I was literally dead inside. I call it flatline. I felt like a flatline. I was just going to work. I'd come home and eat, go to bed. Go to work, come home and eat, go to bed. At work, when I had to talk to people, I had to go from location to location to location. So I would go location, drive through. I had to eat to go to the next one, okay? I had to eat, then I'd go. I'd have to talk to people. I'd have to talk to people in these places. And sometimes it was adversarial talk, like I was a supervisor, so I had to direct and talk. And I'd just have to eat to go to the next place. I couldn't get through one place to the next without eating. So I'd drive through, I'd go to the next place. That's how I ate. It was, you know, thing by thing by thing. Dumb it down. Get it in. Calm those nerves. And so when I got into program, I'm from the Valley, by the way, and I started right in because I'm so nervous. But I live in the Valley, so I'm close by. I was very lucky. I went into some big meetings. My home meeting is probably, I like all my meetings, to be honest, but it's really like Monday Night Miracles is my home meeting in Encino. I walked into there, and people came up and greeted me. People came up and greeted me, and I thought, oh, I felt so welcome, and I didn't feel that before. I felt so welcome. I sat down, and I listened, okay? I ended up getting a sponsor, and the gift is the sponsor had me start writing right away. I got a sponsor in about a month. I kind of listened. The sponsor helped me by starting me right out, no question. Here's the big book. Here's the lines I want you to write on. This is in the doctor's opinion. And so, oh, okay. And I was willing to do that. I couldn't be myself anymore. I couldn't be that person anymore. I was so done with me. 280 pounds. I was just done. I was done. Now, I'm going to tell you the other part of it. When I walked in, I had all thoughts of losing weight were gone. I didn't have any hope. I had no hope to lose weight. By this time, it was just gone. The thought to be anywhere near a healthy body weight, the thought to be under 200 pounds was gone, all right? I couldn't be me anymore. That's how desperate I was. So when I walked in, I just sat down. I sat down and I listened. I started with the sponsor. She was 100-pounder too. And I noticed she was, you know, she was on her way to a healthy body weight, and she started me writing. About a month into my program, I asked her for help with my food, right? I was telling her what I was eating, and it was okay. I'm a quantity eater. I'm not so, like, I just like a lot, all right? So when I was telling her what I was eating, it was almost honest. Almost. I almost got it. It was probably about a 98, okay? I had to do a little bit of sneaky stuff in the first couple of months, but it was almost there. And so that's where I was, and she met me where I was, you know? So she helped me with my food, and I kept this writing up. I was writing and writing and writing. And then so I get into service, right? I didn't know this. Of course, I just saw her at meetings. But, you know, she's pulling me right into doing service as well. And now I'm talking. I'm starting to talk now, right? I'm talking to people at maybe the next person at meetings. I'm doing service with people, and I'm kind of cracking open a little bit. And I'm writing on the steps, right? And didn't even know what I was doing, but I'm writing. I got into a group of people that were working from the big book. It was great. Kind of starting to lose weight. I thought, okay, right, do this. And I was happy about that. But my second sponsor was about the changes that have to happen. Okay, so now I'm developing a relationship with God. In the first couple of years, I didn't know what I was doing. I was following a food plan. I was working on the steps. And I'm slowly developing this personality and this connection with God. My second sponsor, we worked a lot about change. So now I realize I have to change. I can't change myself, of course, so God has to help me change all these old ideas that I have. I have old ideas about who I am, who my family is. I had to forgive that whole part of my family where were they? Why weren't they there and why weren't they helping me? I had to forgive all that. There was nothing I can do to change that. But my change was I don't have to hold on to it anymore, okay? So as I'm changing, I'm growing, I'm talking to people, I'm working through, and I'm doing okay, right? So about halfway in, I'm 17. I have 17 years of abstinence, a little bit more than that. And I'm maintaining, thank you, all because of my higher power, I'm maintaining a weight loss of 145 pounds. I don't know how that's happening, but, you know, it's kind of by putting down those one thing at a time. I knew when I walked in I was eating, that I had to change my eating right away. And I knew those foods that were, I knew the top six, okay? I knew the top six. If I could be honest with myself, I knew the top six things. So those left. They left right away. I'm working the steps. Those things are gone. I'm not thinking about that food now. Those things. I'm working the steps. So in conjunction, this is how I got to move through all that. This is how I got to lose that weight. Little by little, I'm not thinking about it so much. I'm taking direction, okay? I'm working the steps. I'm letting go of those things, right? The obvious first, of course. And then I'm drinking the coffee. Get the coffee, open the thing. Yeah. Okay. A lot of coffee, right? Drinking a lot of coffee, drinking a lot of Diet Coke, going through, doing okay. So what's disconnecting me from God? Diet Coke. Okay? I'm slugging down two at a time. Let that go. That's how it goes. That's how I walk through this. I'm working the steps. I let go of that. That's disconnected me from God. I'm making a trip to the store. See? I'm making a trip to the store from work because I need some Diet Coke. What's the next thing? The half and half in the coffee. It sounds like a small thing, doesn't it? And it's not, okay? So I'm working the steps. I let go of that because I'm standing in 7-Eleven and I'm going, I wanted to drink those little things. And I thought, okay, now I've got a little clarity. By this time, I've got a little clarity, right? When I came in, I'm so unclear. I was so unclear. I was unclear about life. I was unclear about what I was eating. I was unclear about what I was afraid of. What was I afraid of? I just felt fear. I felt fear, and I couldn't talk about it. So all this going by now, I'm starting to, again, talk to people. When I feel fear, I can say I'm afraid. Now I can say, that's a huge thing. When I feel fear, now I can say I'm afraid. I'm not eating, right? It's now it's opening. Very uncomfortable at first. It's very uncomfortable to put that food down. I couldn't have done it without putting the food down, okay? I'm not going to be clear in writing the steps and talking to my sponsor if I'm eating. I can't do that. It did not work for me. So in the program, I found it necessary to end a long-term relationship. I have you guys. Now I have you guys to help me, right? I'm not doing anything by myself, believe me. I love the valley. I love the meetings. I feel like I've done everything together with people now. So I get to break up a relationship and all of that that goes with that, selling the house, doing the splitting the stuff, like a woman in recovery. I get to do that because I'm here now. I'm not eating. I'm talking to people. I grabbed people from the program that, and I had like a little core group that helped me with that, and I had no amends to make except for the big general one. I'm sorry this didn't work out, okay? But I did it like a woman in recovery, and there's a twofold to that. I do it like that. I don't have to pick up food, right? God's helping me. I don't have to pick up food anymore. I get to feel it. I get to work through it. I work the steps before I made that decision. That's, okay, steps run through number three. Before I make that decision, I'm going to work the steps around that issue, whatever it is. I'm uncomfortable. I work the steps. By this time, I'm on sponsor three. Okay, we're going to do it a little differently now. I've had a sponsor for myself. I've had every sponsor I've had was the perfect one for what I was going through right then. Okay, so sponsor number three, I get all settled down, right? Move into a house. I had to add a meeting by this time. Now I'm having to add a meeting because I'm all settled and I start get itchy, right? I add a meeting. I'm going through. I walk with people and I work the steps again. Now stuff is coming out. The fourth run through the steps is when I found out some of my core character defects, because now I've had reactions. Now I'm clear. Food's down. I'm clear. One of my core things is fear of abandonment. I can't tell you how freeing it was to realize that, to have a name for that that I had, that I have a name now for how uncomfortable I get when somebody walks out of my life. You know, in life, people come and go. You know that. That's just normal. I have a big life today. I had sponsees. Thank you. I had sponsees, and I noticed that come up again when a sponsee walked away. Now, you wouldn't think, I mean, this happens all the time, but I had a reaction like you wouldn't believe. It shocked it out of me, okay? I was really shocked when a sponsee walked away. And the reaction I was having, and I'm like, I'm calling my sponsor, what is going on? Why am I having this? So in this run through the steps, that's a big character defect for me, fear of abandonment. Oh, thank God, right? Now I have a name for that. And I was, it's like the whole abandonment thing, I was abandoned before. There's no big, it's like there's no surprise in that, right? So now that I know that, because now I have a list of my character defects that I'm constantly asking God to remove, all right? When they come up, when I get into fear, it's not all the time anymore. I'm not in fear all the time anymore, right? And so when they come up, when these character defects come up, I get to, number one, I talk about it to my sponsor. My sponsor's name is Shelley now, and she's I've had her for about 7 years. Right after all this stuff happened, right off after this breakup, moving, whatever, she started to be my sponsor, and we've worked through multiple things together. Right now, she's such a gift in my life, and I can talk to her about anything. I can tell her anything, all right? So this happened. Oh, my God, you know, this happened. And she'll have me question that. What's the old idea? What is the idea that you have that makes this such a big deal? Okay? And we'll talk about it, and we get to work the steps. And we're still in the book, right? We're just walking through. She's not paying a bit of attention to my food. My food is down. If I have a question about something, I have people. I have people I can ask, right? But we're not talking about that anymore because I'm not eating. I have this food plan. This food plan keeps me at a healthy body weight and keeps this quiet. That's a gift. It's a gift of my higher power. It's a gift through these years of working through. This was my biggest deal, right? I'm a compulsive overeater, and I have a healthy food plan today that keeps me at a healthy body weight. Now I get to live. Now I'm living, all right? So the next And I want to tell you just really quick about what I do each day to keep the spiritual connection. And if I have a minute, I'll give you the last very, very current stuff. But, you know, I work with sponsees. I work with when I get up in the morning, I do this every single morning. This is my connection. I read the dailies. I do writing. I work on whatever we're working on. Right now, we're back to the doctor's opinion, working through that with my sponsor. I take my sponsee calls, and then I call her two days a week. At night, I have a 10-step that is pretty extensive. It's the same one out of the big book, and I've added some things that are personal to me. One of them at the bottom of the list is, what did I do well today? Right? I need to have that. What did I do well today? That's a current inventory. The stuff, am I resentful? I can write about it. Am I afraid? Yes, this happened, right? So I let her know everything that's going. I'm absolutely transparent with my sponsor, which is a total gift of this program. I'm also transparent with a lot of the people that I talk to every day. I have a very big core group of people now that I can go up to anybody in this core group of people and say anything that's on my mind. That's a gift. I told you, I wasn't talking to anybody, right? So this is all God working in my life. I do this 10-step at night, and I send her my food for the next day. I commit my food ahead of time. It's out of the way. I want to stay at a healthy body weight, so it's in such a way that this is part of my sobriety. And my sobriety with my food is eating all my green light foods, and it's the right amounts of everything because I'm a quantity eater. So that's part of that, and that's part of my sobriety. But the other parts of my sobriety is the big picture of my life today. I go to 4 meetings a week regularly. I have commitments, although my sponsor kind of reminded me. She goes, right now you have a lot of sponsees, you know, that fluctuates. And she said, I want you to just, like, that's your service. Your sponsorship is your service for right now. So just don't take too many commitments. She's always trying to protect me from that, from being, like, running. I'm running all the time. I have a hobby today. Isn't that awesome? It's so fun. But, you know, when I had this indication that I wanted to have a hobby, I didn't think about it, but God put... when I was going through this breakup, how much time do I have? Because I don't want to, like... Oh, that's not even enough for this whole thing. No, that's not enough for that. I'm a drummer. This kind, the cool kind, right? I know. Can you even believe that? I followed my heart, right? I couldn't have done that before. I literally followed my heart step by step, found the class, went to the class, learned it. Now I play in all kinds. I've played at the Ford Theater. Anyway, I didn't want to talk about that. But that's a gift of the program. I followed through on a wish that I thought, oh, I want to do that, right? Couldn't have done that before. I didn't do anything. Now I have a big life, right? So I go to these 4 meetings a week. I speak when I can, when I'm asked to, if I can get the, you know, sometimes I can't, but I speak when I'm asked. I work with women, and I have a sponsor. And that's really what I want to tell you, is that I am a garden variety compulsive overeater. There's nothing different about me. I followed what I was told to do, and today I have a life that I'm so grateful. Like, it's so different. The hardest thing for this year has been my job. It's like, okay, here comes the next fear, and that's what life is like. It's not going to be all unicorns, okay? The next thing, here comes this work fear again. Everything changed at work. Everything changed. And now a person is supervising me that has triggered me since years. He was kind of behind the scenes. It's my boss's son. When he would show up, literally my hair goes right up like this, okay? When he would show up, when he would call, when he would ask questions. But he was, you know, then I wouldn't hear from him for 6 months. So he's, you know, okay, fine. Now he's my boss, okay? So this last year has been about how do I walk through this in abstinence, okay? I'm, oh my God, busy, and I'm scared. First of all, my sponsor said to me, like, okay, what are you scared of? Financial insecurity? Would you be okay if you were, I said, maybe he's going to fire me. Would you be okay? And I had to stop and say, oh yeah, like the shoulders can go back down. Yeah, I would be okay. If that was it, if that was the fear, I would be okay, all right? But I have to live in this world. I have to be supervised by this guy. So in this past year, by just keep talking, now he's on my 10th step, by the way. How are you grateful for, okay? Right. And I have to think of something. Now, sometimes I put a little smile, you know, frowny face. The program has helped me walk through this petrifying fear that came up again, petrifying fear, because this is my job. I'm not going to fire myself, as my brother Craig says. Don't fire. We're not going to fire ourselves. I'm not going to fire myself, right? I'm going to walk through this. I'm going to learn to walk through this. This is life. He's just a guy. What's the difference? I do a really good job at my job, and I enjoy people. And I live through, and I'm abstinent. I have sobriety with my food. And the big picture of OA, the big picture of spirituality for me is doing exactly this, right? I get to share my story. I get to make my bed. I learned that from my Pacific group girls. I make my bed. I get to floss. Stop lying to, don't lie to the dentist. How many people lie to the dentist when the dentist says, are you flossing? That was me. Those little things have to fall away. I have to be in complete integrity with myself first. Integrity with myself, integrity with God. And that helps me stay abstinent every day. And that also helps me be of service. Now I can be of service because all that stuff is done, okay? I want to thank you. I want to thank my sponsor. I want to thank Overeaters Anonymous for, look, now I'm going to cry, for my life.